Today on Real Radio.
And God wants to communicate to each and every one of us. Were you loved as a child? Were you taken care of as a child? Were you protected as a child? Were you assured as a child? I think one of the greatest damages about divorce is that it causes a child to maybe never trust again.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're spending a bunch of time in chapter 13 as Pastor Jack delivers a collection of studies called Finding the Love of Your Life. This four-part mini-series taken from the Love chapter is pretty much an exploration into perfect love, or godly love, if you will. And one particular takeaway from these lessons is that the love that comes from our Creator is perfect and, get this word now, unchanging. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing his series called Finding the Love of Your Life.
And I'm so thankful, and I know you are too, about things that maybe a few years ago we didn't even care about, but now we're so thankful to have this or that or to see this or that. We appreciate things. Consistency. In Psalm 33, verse 11, the Bible says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of his heart to all generations." And then here's my favorite. Are you ready for this? Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." You know what? You know this is great? I tell you why this is great. Jesus Christ, that declaration, that is the nature of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the definition of being immutable. Only God is immutable. Listen, this is fun. Hello. When Jesus Christ came into the world, born as a baby in Bethlehem, and he grew up before his family and eyewitnesses in the nation of Israel. When he died on the cross, rose from the grave, and ascended back to heaven from whence he came, this was none other than the unchanging God. You say, yeah, but he grew up and he nursed and he went to the bathroom and he learned how to walk. Yes, he became a man. The unchanging God became a man. And here's the amazing thing. He never changed once. He's immutable. Jesus didn't become less than God during his manhood. He was God. And when you look at Jesus, you are looking at the manifestation of the very nature of God. So here we go. Are you ready? Number one is this. He's altogether consistent this way. By his consistency, faithfulness, dependability, he assures me. Will you write that down? He assures me, found in verse 5. Love does not behave rudely, does not cast me away, does not act coarse or cold or agitated. That's what that word means. To behave rudely, love doesn't do that. The love of Jesus Christ, the love of God for you. God never treats you this way, abrasive, crass, cold. God is never agitated with us. Take a deep breath and let it out. God is never agitated. That is a human flaw. God never looks down and says, "Oh man, again? Look at you." He doesn't do that. He's assuring. His love, that word means, never stops. And it never acts up, it never disrupts, it doesn't seek its own attention. It's a love that is giving. And what does God primarily want to give you? And I, the assurance of our relationship with him. Friends, listen, many of you, because you've told me this, so I'm just going to repeat it. Many of you come to this church, or you've already, this is second service, so here's what happens. Many of you come with your Bibles to study the Bible at this service, because you've just come from your other church service, or from here you're going to your other church. Did you know that? I don't know if you guys, the rest of you know that. There are a lot of people who go to the liturgical, practical, I say practical in the sense of we do these motions, we do these things, we kneel, we stand up, we kneel, and I was raised that way and I do that, but after that I quickly come over to Calvary and I study the Bible. And I've been told this by hundreds and hundreds of people. Understand something. This is fantastic. Well, watch this. The Bible teaches that God is your assurance. He says to you, these things have been written, for example, that you might know you have eternal life. Do you know that? Because many people, they don't know that. They go to a particular church and that church will tell them, you won't know if you're going to heaven until you die. Well, isn't that a satanic sales pitch? You just can't know until you die. You can't. The Bible makes it clear after you die, you can't change your mind. You've got to choose Christ now. Jesus said that unless you're born again, the word is Greek, born from above, unless you're born from heaven, like you've been born from the earth, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We've got to be born again now, Jesus said. And one of the first things that God does is that he wraps you up and he speaks to you about assurance. You are my child. What do you think? Listen, in the Bible, how often does the Bible tell you, you are my child, you are my son, to the family of God at Rome or to the believers at Corinth, over and over again? What is God communicating when he says to us, we've been sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit? What's he saying? He's saying, be assured, be confident. This life is rough and hard going. But thank God, I thank God that we can have this assurance. I've been getting information from those believers that you and I will spend eternity with in Egypt. Did you know that they're finding out who are Christians? The rise of the Islamic revolution in the Middle East. And right now in Egypt, they're going to hospitals, for example, and they're finding out who's a Christian, and they're throwing them out of the hospitals, out in the street. Did you know that there's Christians who have died in the last 24 hours in Egypt because they're Christians? Aren't you glad that you could lay your neck down or your life down knowing, you know what, it didn't go well for me in this world, but Lord Jesus, here I come. Listen, you need to know now, not later, about your eternal security with Christ. He assures us. And every one of you who are hearing my voice right now, you need to know God's love for you and that you've yielded to this amazing love that brings this consistency into your life. The Bible says this, that his love is gentle and is kind. We read that it does not behave rudely, that is without courtesy. Proverbs 29:22 says, a hot-tempered person starts fights and gets into all kinds of sin. That word is the opposite of God's love. When we are hot-tempered, we're not walking in love. We're the opposite of this word, to behave rudely. If we're hot-tempered, we do behave rudely. This is a serious thing. We have to be careful about this. Jesus is always consistent to love in the face of hatred or rejection. It's a very powerful thing to remember. Always keep in mind, Lord, if I'm not assured, watch this, everybody. If I'm not assured, Lord, if I'm not at peace with you and confident with you, Christ, in my life, I can never be that way with other people. This is vitally important. To show assurance and love and care, you've got to have that stability in your life first. Where do you go back to when doubts come, when fears arise? You've got to go back to the Lord. And he says, I love you. He says in Jeremiah, I love you with an everlasting love. Now stop right there. Ladies, you can, when you hear verses like that, Jesus loves me. Oh, so sweet. And us guys wish we could be like you on that. You ladies, you write one another and say, oh, thank you for coming to my tea last Wednesday. Love, Susie. And Lisa gets a note like that. Oh. Oh. What is it? Are you okay? What is it? Oh, I got a note. Listen, God sends women a way that he gets through to them. And women seem to have an easier way to, when the Bible says that God loves you, women go, yeah. Guys, we're different. And it's really hard for us guys, right, guys? It's hard when we read the Bible. It says that in eternity, the church will be the bride of Christ. That's tough for a man. It's hard for us. But we relate to that differently. When guys love each other, it's funny. It's funny because you know what we do? We put somebody in a headlock and put knuckles on their head. That's how we tell them we love them. Guys are like that. If you played sports, one of the universal, worldwide displays of of love is to get a pat on the rear end after the touchdown. It's automatic. It's if you love them, pat them on their rear end. If you hit a home run, the guy gets patted on the rear end. Have you noticed that? Watch a game. Watch a sporting event. The guy hits a home run, everybody walks over there and slaps him on the rear end. What is that? It's an international communication of love. Guys get it. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. Wait. That was an awesome home run. It was incredible. That was so beautiful how it just went over the fence. Here you go. The guy would go, yeah, right on. No, you gotta go like this. Yeah. It's the communication thing. And you can have two kids be born from the same parents, come out of the same place, and they're absolutely different people. One, you gotta talk to. I love you. Oh. The other one, they don't care about the words. Just give me money. Right? Don't tell me, show me. Completely different. Where does this come from? Listen, for each and every one of us right here, right now, we have issues with love. And God wants to communicate to each and every one of us. Were you loved as a child? Were you taken care of as a child? Were you protected as a child? Were you assured as a child? I think one of the greatest damages about divorce is that it causes a child to maybe never trust again. And our God is a God that assures us. And he wants you to know that. That's what that word love means here. That it's not rude. Secondly, by his consistency, he encourages me. Now you've noticed again, right? He encourages me. Have you noticed again? Remember I told you this last week. Look at the screen. By his consistency, he assures me. By his consistency, he encourages me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Remember what I said last week? You write down me on your piece of paper. I'll write down me because those are my pieces of paper on the screen. Because it's me. When you write it down, it's you writing down the me, not me writing down your you. It's your me. That's your me. Put it down. Because God is speaking to you. He's a personal Savior who loves you personally. That is his nature. And he is consistent to encourage me. He's consistent to encourage you. God is good, and he loves to do that. Love does not seek its own. That is this encouragement. It doesn't, listen, the word means that God's love is not selfish, self-centered, self-seeking. It's not like that. It's other-centered. This is amazing to me. The word means literally to not take its own path. Love does not take its own path. The opposite of this is to be using others around you at their expense to promote yourself. God's love is not like that. Do you realize Jesus would have stayed home rather than come here and die on the cross? But he came. Jesus is always consistent to show his encouragement and his instruction to us, his consistency to encourage us. God's word encourages us. How many times do you pick up the Bible and you read it? By the way, listen, we all need encouragement regarding this. We need to stay in the Bible on a daily basis. I thank God every day. I wake up early, I go into another room. I have my time with God, and when I come back into our bedroom, Lisa is there. She's got her books all over the bed. She's got her Bible. She's got her devotion books, and then we have our time of reading together. But here's the thing. There is this constant need that if we don't have a time with God, either together or individual, because our schedules don't always allow it, if we don't have that time, there's a deficiency for the rest of our day. It's almost like, I mean, God forbid we wake up in the morning and not eat. Right? So sorry, I gotta get something to eat. What if we all decided today, no food until we're with God first. Feed the soul first, then the stomach. Imagine that. There'll be a whole lot of devotions going on. Why? Because I got to get through this so I can eat. But feeding your soul, what happens? You're encouraged. David said of himself, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Hope thou in God." Find your strength in God. Why? Because the greatest thing about that is that he speaks to us and he encourages us. I know there's people that read the Bible and say, man, you know what? I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't understand. Wow. when you read the Bible, when God says, come to me if you're heavy laden. When God says, if you come to me, I will not turn you away. When God says, if you come, I'll forgive you. How encouraging is that? I'll never leave you or forsake you. How amazing is that? He's always encouraging. Thirdly, by his consistency, he accepts me. His faithfulness, dependability, his consistency, love is not provoked. This is a strong word. The word in the English closest to its full meaning is love is not exasperated. The word in the Greek, though, means more graphically to sharpen alongside or to stir up or to cause heat, friction, to create friction, to be resentful. We get the word resentful from this. To be quick angry is another way it's to be said. Ill-tempered, quick angry, bad disposition. Love is not like that. Love doesn't have a bad day. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm having a bad day. You have to repent of that action. I'm sorry, I'm Irish. What do the Irish get away with everything for? What is that? You have to forgive me. I'm Irish. No, you need to repent. God's love's not like that. You see the deficiency that you and I have? We have a tendency to be ill-tempered. We're tempted to be rude to people, or to be cold, or to be seeking our own way, or to be provoked. An example of exasperation in Mark chapter 6, verse 35. It's sad but funny at the same time. It says, when the day was now far spent, the disciples came to Jesus and said to him, this is a deserted place, it's a wilderness, and already the hour is late. Send them away. There were thousands of people following Jesus. You read that, I know exactly what that means. This is what it means. Jesus, we've been ministering all day. Working for you is tough. I mean, we're grateful, but it's tough. Everybody's got a need. Everybody's got something wrong. Everybody's got an issue. Now look, the day, whoo, finally, the day's over. You could just hear Peter, oy vey. The day's over, thank God, put it away. Send the people out. This, Jesus, we're tired, we're hungry. I'm going to take a shower, watch the stars. Send them away. And Jesus, you know, Jesus says to them, hey, I tell you what. Yeah, you're right. It is a deserted place. It is really late. Why don't you guys all just have them all sit down and feed them? What is he doing? Number one, he's heightening their awareness of their great need of God. Not another program. Not a catering service. Jesus says, make the people to sit down. More work. It's late. Make them to sit down. All right. And the Lord supernaturally provides the need to, I think, look, the people got fed in their tummies, but I think the disciples learned a huge lesson. When you're ministering at the point of being exasperated, do you know what happens when you're exasperated? You're short with people. Oh, what? Okay. What? Oh, just pray. What? Well, you know what? My wife and my husband, they... Oh! When we do, listen, every one of us, don't look at me like this. We all do this. When we're spent and we're tired and we start responding to people and we're quick and ill-tempered, you know what? We're running in our own strength. We're doing ministry or, listen, for that matter, you don't have to be in ministry. If you're a Christian, I don't care what you do. If you're a Christian, that is your ministry, whatever it is. And if you're doing it in your own strength, you'll get gripey and grumpy and mopey and snippy. A friend of mine told me a long time ago, I haven't exactly obeyed him, but it's great counsel nonetheless. He's a tremendous doctor, and he said, you know, caregivers have a tendency, that's why they're caregivers, is they pour themselves into people until they like fall over. And if you're a caregiver, which, by the way, isn't that... How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. You're Christians? You're caregivers. We have a tendency, if we run on our own strength, to get short. That's a time to take a break. He said, you know, as doctors, we'll work. Every doctor's got his own schedule. He knows himself. She knows herself. If it's working 3 weeks or 9 weeks or 6 weeks or 5 weeks, whatever, they just go all out, and then they take a week off. And then they go all out. You say, well, that's kind of cush. But they're working 24 hours a day. Okay? Even if they're sitting at home, they're still working in their head. It's still hurting. Here's the thing. If you're not getting a Sabbath time to be recuperated with the Lord, you're going to be grumpy. And how would you like to have your surgeon that's about ready to cut your brain out, you know? You better be praying for your doctor that he's right now sailing down Newport Beach somewhere, having a great day. You don't want your doctor cutting on your head at the end of his 9-week run. Why? Because you make mistakes. And it's like, come on, oh man, what? How many surgeries today? Three of them! And, Jack's my last one. He's at 4:00. Oh, gosh. Oh, man, we'll just, just get him in, cut him open, put that thing in there, put some more marbles in there, and sew him up. And yet we can live our lives like that as Christians. Turn to the kids. What do you want again? Did I just feed you? What's your trip? Hey, everybody backs up. What's the deal? It's an international announcement. Haven't been with Jesus for a while. That's what it means. Not loving right now. Not loving. I need to know the love of God before I can give the love of God out. And you've got to take a break. A lot of people wound too tight these days. And we can all have the excuses. Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, I already know what. We fail because we're not with him. Alan Redpath, the great author, writes this. There is perhaps nothing more disruptive and upsetting in a home than a bad disposition. The man or woman who is bitter and irritable is a foul presence in an otherwise comfortable setting. These are the people who seem to enjoy seeing others disrupted and made to hurt. They are thin-skinned people who erupt into a volcanic spewing of harmful words fueled by a wicked heart. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, out of a good man, out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasures of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are we not convicted? Very, very seriously.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that looks at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Finding the love of your life is the title of today's lesson. In fact, finding the love of your life is actually a 4-part series taken from this section of Paul's letter. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in case you are wondering, we do offer this series, Finding the Love of Your Life, on DVD. It's a 4-part message series, might make a nice addition to your library. Now, in Finding the Love of Your Life, Pastor Jack helps us understand this quite familiar passage, 1 Corinthians 13. But this time, we take a good look at God's nature and how He loves. We see that He is altogether humble, consistent, pure, and faithful. That sounds like the right kind of love to me. No wonder it's been said finding Him is to find the love of your life. Our offer for your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this 4-part series on DVD, Finding the Love of Your Life. In fact, we're already hearing from Real Radio listeners asking about it. Get yours as soon as you can. Let me say this again. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this series called Finding the Love of Your Life, a 4-part DVD set. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real easy. Just click on the button on the right there that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.